Today's show is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com right now and you'll get 50% off just about any item. All you have to do is enter the code word GLORY, G-L-O-R-Y, at checkout.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, April 11th. I'm pretty sure. My phone's on the floor charging, so I can't double check
that. Can't tell.
It's probably around then.
Do you have a watch on?
It's damn near tax day.
Yeah.
My watch says it's near tax Thursday day. The 11th.
Yeah, right.
Look at
there
that.
There you go.
You're right. Yeah. This is why we keep you around, Cecil. It's the kind of problem solving
hard-hitting journalism
from.
You've yeah. come to expect.
So what a fucking week, unless you live in Arizona.
Oh, man.
It's a fucking disaster. This story comes from the New York Times. The history behind Arizona's 160-year-old abortion ban. So the abortion ban in Arizona actually comes from a law passed in 1864 from before Arizona was even a fucking state, when it was a goddamn territory.
During the Civil War, right? So Civil War's right. raging. It's not even a state at the time. And this is 40, 50, 60 years before women can vote, something like that? 60 years?
Oh, God.
Something like that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you're going back in time to a time when midwives were helping women, which was a natural thing across the country, right? Midwives helping women get rid of pregnancies, right? Restart their period, essentially,
right?
That's what they were trying to do is restart.
Restart your period.
Restart it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what they were doing. And midwives have been doing that for centuries, and they were doing it in the States. And what happened was, according to this article, there was a bunch of doctors who thought, you know what? They're kind of horning in our business.
Yeah. This was dollars and cents.
Is there any way we could get women out of the workforce here in a couple of different ways?
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah. This is, we've talked about how a lot of the anti-abortion pushback so often comes down to eliminating women from the workforce. And I have always thought of this until this article. I had always thought of this as eliminating women from the workforce by virtue of keeping them pregnant, right? And that is a true fact, right? That is a true thing that is sure. actually the case. It's astonishing to me that this was like profession protection is where this came from, right? This was arms around. This was like a bunch of dudes being like, yeah, all right. I know you guys have been doing this forever, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Actually, no thanks.
Yeah.
I also, like, doctor in 1864? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're a barber at that point. You know what I mean?
You go into the barber to get your mustache trimmed and your arm cut off.
For real. Like, this is, think about a Civil War doctor, Cecil. Think about a Civil War doctor.
I don't want to.
Nobody wants to. They didn't know how anything worked, right? They were like, I don't know. We vaguely know you have two arms and legs. That's it.
We're gonna either take a wing or a leg.
there's no antiseptic yet, right? Antiseptic is an invention that wouldn't be seen until the 19-teens, right? As an invention that comes out of World War I. There's no antibiotics yet. That's not something. There's no anesthesia yet. That's not something. You've got like laudanum for pain. They've got opiates, you know, for pain. That's essentially all you've got. The knowledge that they're working to protect here is fucking thin at best.
Yeah.
And it's so awful how in 1864, the protection of women, women's needs, women's health, that was not what this was about.
No.
And it's fucking 160 years later. And still, who is last in line when these laws are being considered? The health of women.
Yeah.
This was about protecting men 160 years ago. Fast forward 160 years ago, this isn't about protecting women.
Yeah.
This is still about protecting men. It's awful. The only, it's so spurious, the legal framework that is supposed to undergird this. I mean, my God, Arizona wasn't even a fucking state yet. How can the state of Arizona look to a law 160 years ago prior to its foundation as a state and say, yeah, that one's still on the books, guys.
Yeah.
That we're all operating in good faith, right? This is good faith. This is how good faith works. Get the fuck out of here, right? This was a way, I think, for hardline, crazy Republican assholes to push through a total abortion ban in a purple state,
yeah.
A state that would never have passed this if this was had to be passed through legislative action, would never have passed this. The right loves to talk about judicial overreach. Holy fuck, is this judicial overreach?
It's judicial overreach when I want judicial overreach.
Yep.
And it's when I draw the shit out of a hat and it's not a practice. That's basically it. I mean, these guys have... And it's states' rights when I want states' rights.
Exactly.
And it's not states' rights when I don't want states' rights, you know? And that's happened too. We see that when it comes to the Colorado decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, we wanted states' rights. Well, sorry, not states' rights now.
Yeah.
But when it comes to abortion, now it's back to states' rights.
When California passes a law that says, hey, in California, here are going to be the emission standards for California, that's a state's right. Oh, no. They're all liars.
Yeah, it's states' they're rights when they want.
They're all liars.
It's states' rights when they want it. I want to go back to what you said, because I think it's really important to point out, you know, this is a time that it's passed that they have no real idea what's happening with a human body at that point. I mean, it was all guesswork. They're talking about the quickening and when a baby moves, and that's when you couldn't get an abortion anymore once the baby started moving, once you could feel the baby moving. You know, they didn't have any real ideas about viability, because viability wasn't a thing until it was actually born, right? That's not a thing. We've come very far with medical technology and medical understanding since then. There's nothing in our laws, there's very little in our laws that we should be looking to and saying, this is how they did it in 1860, so let's do it that way.
I know,
we
man.
We don't do that. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be looking at current science, current thoughts, current progressive ideals about how the world works and how our morality interacts with that world. That's how we should be deciding how things happen. We shouldn't be looking back at some old dusty book from before when this was a state and say, let's blow the dust off it and use that from now on. And you know, you're absolutely right. This is just disenfranchising women. And I want to point out another real important piece. This is almost always the people who are passing these laws are people who are well past their child rearing years, right?
Yeah, man.
We have
no stake in that.
We have a system of government where people who are almost always wealthy pass laws that deal with groups of people that are way, way underpaid, far less wealth than those people who are making those laws and passing those laws. People of way different colors, right? These are mostly white people who are passing laws.
Yeah.
We're talking about the gender differences. It's mostly men who are politicians. That they're making decisions for women. But in this case, we're talking about people who are probably, if they're men or women on that side of the fence, they are probably well past their age at which they have any stake in this whatsoever. They're not at child rearing age anymore. That's not a thing that they have to worry about. They don't have to worry about accidentally, you know, impregnating their wife. And these are also people who are incredibly privileged probably their whole life. So for them, they're making these decisions and saying, you know what? What a blessing a baby is. Yeah, a baby is a fucking blessing when you make $200K a year. It's a fucking blessing. Amazing. Throw your hands to the fucking sky. But when you make fucking $16,000 a year or something, and you're fucking, the best you can do is scrape two pennies together, that's a fucking curse.
Yeah, man. Yeah. A baby is a goddamn curse in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how is a baby a blessing when you're in an abusive relationship?
Sure.
You know, how is a baby a blessing if your life is in danger? Or, you know, like you said, if you're in financially dire straits? Or how is a baby a blessing if you're, you know, inches away from getting your fucking PhD and it's going to derail your entire fucking career? There are a million reasons. And like, none of them are ours to judge. All of those reasons are exclusively a woman's choice.
Yep.
I don't think men should be allowed to vote on this issue. This has not got anything to do with me. Like, why? Like, what? Like, I really don't think so. Like, why the fuck do I get any say in this? Like, this is like, I there's never going to be a chance that I get pregnant, right? It's literally a zero possibility that I will ever face the consequences in a meaningful biological way of having this. Maybe only the women should show. I guarantee if women showed up to vote, we'd have a fucking right to abortion in this country.
You see it.
It'd be done and dusted, man.
Yeah, you see it. You see it across the board that women, more women vote Democratic and more women almost certainly vote against restricting their access to abortion.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't even exist if it was only women voting.
It wouldn't. Because even when you factor in men who are much less understanding about women's healthcare and access rights than women are, obviously, for obvious reasons. Even when you factor in the general population, abortion polls really, really well. Access to abortion is actually not terribly controversial by the numbers. It's controversial by a vocal, very well-funded minority, right? That's all that it's vocal. You said something, I want to tell a quick story. There's a guy that I a subcontractor that I work with. And, you know, he's a pretty Republican guy. He and I have a number of conversations throughout the years. And I remember he and I were talking and he's saying, yeah, you know, Melissa and I, his wife, Melissa and I, you know, we were younger. We were much more pro-choice back then when we were younger. But, you know, as we've gotten older and we've grown to understand the world a little better, you know, we've kind of changed gears. We're pro-life.
Sure, yeah.
And I said, Bob, that's because it's got nothing to do with you anymore. When you were going to knock up Melissa accidentally and you guys were starting your business and starting your career and you neither of you wanted a family and it was a real possibility that could derail your lives, when you had a stake in the game,
sure.
All of a sudden your thoughts were one thing. And now that you're both old enough that you're past this point of like real threat to your life, all of a sudden you've had this big change. Oh, that's not what it's about. I was like, that's 100% what it's about,
well,
man.
Here's the thing.
When you wanted the option, you wanted the option.
Yeah, let's go back to Immanuel Kant, right? When we talk about whether the grounding of the metaphysics of morals, you can't point to yourself in that room not being self-interested.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
You can't separate yourself from your self-interest in that position. So regardless of how you want to portray it now, you appear self-interested.
100%.
No matter what you appear. Yep. And so like, I don't believe you, man.
No, there's
I don't
no
believe
reason
you.
To. 1864, if you were 18 years old and you fought in the revolution, you would still be alive at 86 years old in 1864. The birth of the nation still has people alive in 1864. Like you could be a soldier in the revolution and you could still be very much alive when this stupid fucking bill or law or whatever in the territory, not even state of Arizona was passed. I do think, Cecil, this is a crushingly stupid thing for Arizona to have done politically.
The two judges, and I think this sort of tells you something, right? Because judges in one of the states, Alabama and Arizona, the two states that just did some colossally stupid shit with abortion.
Yeah.
One of them with IVF, one of them with, and that abortion ban-ish stuff in Alabama impacted IVF.
Yeah, 100%. That only is a thing because of the Dobbs decision.
Yeah, but the judges in those two states, one of them's appointed, one of them's elected, but they have 6-year terms. I feel like they don't feel the same pressure that politicians do.
No,
so they do things like this all the time, and what you're seeing, I think, is that is absolutely in both of those places. You're putting mobilizing a ton of women voters is what you're doing. You're basically saying, please go register to vote because we made huge mistakes. And they even tried on the floor in a couple of these places, even Republicans from different districts were saying—
They saw the writing on
that
wall,
man.
They were
like, no, we don't want to do this. And they shut the session down.
Yeah.
So they were going to try to, in Arizona, they were going to try to create something to try to at least get past this law or whatever. And the session was closed down by the Republicans because they have a majority down there. But I did read that the attorney general is not going to prosecute any cases based on this law. So the law goes into effect, but she's not allowing anybody in the state to prosecute anybody. And she's trying to do her best to assuage fears of everybody in the state. But even still, people are still trying to leave. They're trying to get, they're trying to actually get doctors licensed in California, and they're trying to move people to California to get the care they need.
You know, the attorney general came out and said that, and the governor backed it up, but I wouldn't trust it, right? Like, I would not gamble my liberty.
It's your own life, man.
You know, I would not gamble my liberty on whether, because the other side is like, hey, actually, we're going to sue the attorney general for not taking these because the attorney general has
a duty,
and I'm not going to put myself in the middle of that, right? Yeah. And I mean, maybe I would actually, because I have a value around this. But a lot of people are going to say, look, I can't go to jail for this. I can't do that. I can't lose my liberty. I can't lose my livelihood. I can't lose my family for this, right? Mm-hmm. Your point about judges is really interesting, because judges have the luxury to be ideologues, whereas politicians have to, at least to some degree, answer to a constituency. I think that's where a lot of this craziness is coming from with these judges, is they have the luxury of the ideologue, right? So they're able to say, well, you know, a strict interpretation of this or a careful reading of that. And then they just work their way into the decision that they want to make.
Yes.
They're fucking wrong. Like, they're just wrong. Theirs is incredibly unpopular. And I really think that this just hands the state of Arizona to the Democrats.
I think so too. You're just talking about a purple state, man.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those places where the right is so entrenched that nothing the Democrats do can assail their position, right?
Right.
This is one of those places where the right has been, if you look at where that needle is, where it's been landing, it's going this way, it's going that way, it's going this way, it's bending to two different positions. You could see some serious problems with people down there. And you see Republicans backtracking on this already.
Trump is backing off.
Yeah, even Trump, because Trump had said he wanted to do a ban, and then once this stuff starts coming in, he sees it's a political loser. He's backpedaling like a fucking scared crocodile. He's running backwards. Ah, his mouth open.
Now all I want to do is watch videos of crocodiles running in reverse. That's all I care about now for the rest of my... But yeah, like it's so funny because Trump, when the Dobbs decision happened, Trump took credit for it.
Absolutely.
And I want to say, he was right to take credit for it.
Yeah.
Because he orchestrated it. He and Mitch McConnell together are the architects of the Dobbs decision. There's literally no argument about that. Like, it's 100% the case. He took credit for it. He said in 2016 or 2015, when he was gearing up for the election, he said, if you get me elected, I will put in the most pro-life judges this country has ever seen. And then he did that. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few things he said he was going to do and did. Then he did that, and literally all the things that we were afraid of happened, right? Dobbs happens, Roe is overturned, 20 states in the union now, abortion is effectively banned or severely curtailed and restricted. This Arizona ban, rape and incest are not even, there's no restrictions
at
all.
That's what they wanted to start Congress up for, to at least get those in, and they refused.
They won't even do that.
They refused.
They're fucking themselves right in the ear, man. They are fucking it. I actually wonder, and I don't think this hard, but I do wonder if even Florida might be in play this year.
It's because possible.
Florida put that crazy ban into place, the 6-week ban in Florida. And then now there's going to be a ballot measure, a referendum measure.
Well, look at how quickly they're backing away from the school book ban.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're seeing their own policies. They've planted those seeds, and they're seeing those policies come to fruition. And what they're seeing is they're fucking ridiculously unpopular.
Yeah.
They are very unpopular. And they're seeing in real time their numbers go down.
Yeah. And it's even as we say that, I did read a poll this week that more people are trending Republican across this country. Like, they're starting to close that gap.
I saw a poll that said Biden was ahead by 5 points in the latest.
I don't even know what's happening anymore.
I know. It's like,
what
it's
do
too
I read?
Out. It's too far out.
But I wasn't even reading like a poll. I was just like, more people are becoming Republican. And I'm like,
that might be true. What? That might be true. But I think no matter what, this is a loser.
This is such a loser.
It's a loser across. It's a bipartisanship loser.
Yeah. I wish, Cecil, sometimes, I don't actually wish this at all, but sometimes I wish we lived in a battleground state, because here in Illinois, we don't really get any real like significant like TV commercial. It's a foregone conclusion here. Not a lot of money is poured into the general election here. If I were a Democrat writing like attack ads, wouldn't they be the easiest things ever?
So easy. Yeah, this year.
Here's things that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at those. You want more of that?
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that did it. Also, they still can't pass anything in their own house. Yeah. They have a majority of the house, and all they keep doing is fighting over who's in
charge.
Not
for long.
Well, it looks like we've got a mistrial. But on the plus side, we've also got a hung jury. Hit it.
This story comes from The Independent. Trump attorneys trolled after they subpoenaed the wrong Jeremy Rosenberg for hush money trial. He says, I'm keeping the $15.
They set him $15 because they wanted copies, and he's the wrong guy. So they tried to subpoena this Jeremy Rosenberg, and the guy is like, they subpoenaed the wrong one, and he says, well, you sent me $15. I'm keeping the money, and I'm the wrong guy. And he just danced off with his hat and cane.
But at least he fucking trolled. I love this so much. Is there ever been a like more self-owning, cringeworthy, incompetent bunch of fucking buffoons?
What I love is Donald Trump definitely gets the best people.
You know, if Donald Trump did not have Aileen Cannon sewn up in his pocket, like the judge for his documents trial,
yeah,
he would be getting smoked constantly.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty, he did a pretty good job, I will say, in Georgia of deflecting into the personal relationship of Fani Willis. Yeah. That was, I mean, legally speaking, kudos. That probably kicked the can down the road past the election time. So that was the goal. He probably accomplished
it. He did exactly what he wanted.
With the Aileen Cannon, the documents case, that woman is looking for any excuse to throw this his way. She's been doing that since day one.
Yeah.
But like, you're not going to give this over to like quality lawyering. This is not quality lawyering. This is just volume of lawyering.
Yeah.
It's a volume issue. It's just like, well, we'll just throw motions at it. Just constantly. They are actually, I was thinking that the analogy here was like watching Russia fight a battle in World War II. It's like, just throw people at
it. Yeah, it's like, what?
Here's our tactic. We have a lot of Russians.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do with less Russians.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of the same thing. It's more motions.
You're not wrong at all on this. I feel like his whole thing is the rich guy thing of try to clog everything up, right?
Yeah.
Try to take the biggest shit you can, use as much toilet paper as possible, and then just clog it up. And I feel like the best part about this is that his, as incompetent as his team is, it doesn't save him from this particular trial. So this trial here that he's screwing up on, this one's a criminal trial, right? So this is not somebody's going to pay any money. This is an actual criminal trial. And he keeps trying to stop it, keeps trying to slow it down, and nothing is working. Nothing is working at all in this criminal trial for his hush money. It's not working, and he is slowly rolling towards the gears of justice.
So I want to play a little game because I failed this game with myself this morning. I was listening to one of my news podcasts this morning, and they said on the news show, they said this morning, it is one of four criminal trials that Donald Trump is involved in. I thought, oh, this is like naming the reindeer. Can you name all the reindeer, you know, or the dwarves?
Yeah.
I tried, I paused it, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I can remember all four of them. Which is a crazy thing to do, by the way, to think, can I remember all the criminal trials of the former president and current presidential Republican hopeful? I couldn't. I got three out of four. And then I tried later in the day while I was riding my bike. And I was like, oh, I'm going to play again in my head. And I got a different three. It's like the dwarves. Like, I'll fucking remember sneezing forget
Doc. What's the fourth one then?
I was going to ask you. Like, there's the document. So I want to play out loud.
The documents case.
Okay. And then there's the hush money trial.
Hush money trial. Fani Willis.
The racketeering case down in Georgia. The January 6th election insurrection.
It's the inciting.
Yes, inciting the insurrection. I always forget about that one.
Yeah. Because that one got kicked down the road too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not going to happen right away. So people are thinking, well, it's not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen right away. And if he gets elected, then it's not going to happen at all.
How insane is it that it's like, oh, let's try to remember all of the criminal trials.
I know, man. Well, and then try to think about all the civil stuff he's involved in, too. There's been so much. He's such a part of every news cycle. And it sucks because I don't want to talk about him.
I don't.
I fucking hate him. I just don't want to talk about him. But he's such a part of every news cycle because he's such a fucking just a mess of a human being. And all the crazy, terrible shit he's done, you can't not talk about it.
I know. I also want to share with you my new favorite hobby. And my new favorite hobby is every day I check to see how much further Trump's stock on his Trump social. So Trump social, when I checked it earlier today, now granted it hadn't closed yet, so trading hadn't closed, but it was at $34.25, down from 69 and change.
Feels low.
It's fucking half, man. I don't know what it closed at.
Yeah.
So maybe it closed a little higher today. I fucking doubt it.
It keeps going down though, because it was at 40 last week.
Yeah, when we were joking about it last week, it peaked at 69.20, I think, and then it was like, oh, it lost like 33% of its value in a single day, and then like 18% the next day, and then like, whoop, there's another 10%. It's so bad that like it is actually functionally too expensive to even short.
Oh wow.
Yeah. For most people, like unless you're fucking rich as fuck. You can't pay the money. Like, I'm not an expert on shorting, but like I was reading some stuff. Like, you basically have to like, in order to borrow the shares to short the shares, you have to pay a pretty sizable like gamble to do that, right? And then if it works out in your favor, then, you know, all is well that ends well. If it doesn't, you eat a lot of shit. So like shorting can be pretty dangerous. It's gotten so like, there's so many people trying to short it that it's effectively like, yeah, good luck trying to short this stock.
I love that
you and I could not functionally short this stock.
I love that it's like a fucking, it's a race to short as much as you can.
It's so
that
fucking funny.
That tells you everything you need to know about it.
It's fucking delicious. So that is my new hobby.
Oh,
I love checking it every day
hobby.
And cackling.
It's a great hobby.
I just cackle.
Just sit there with your tea and your pinky up and your phone.
Are you kidding me? I got my dick in my hand.
Your pinky.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Oh my God, that's glorious. And you know what this big hole in the sky reminds me of? Using code GLORY at adamandeve.com. Hey, did you look too long at the eclipse and your retinas got too hot? Well, now you don't need to worry about that hole in the sky, and you can worry about the holes between your thighs. Because when you go to adamandeve.com and use code GLORY, you get 50% off almost any one item. And then Adam and Eve creates a syzygy of savings. That's when several gifts align at one time, for instance, 3 free gifts for you to enjoy, 6 free spicy movies, and free discreet shipping. Using code GLORY is truly a celestialicious event. So why don't you align a couple bodies, flash your prominences, and put your penumbra where the sun doesn't shine? You total cumbrophile, you. Use code GLORY or the dragon will eat the sun, casting the world into eternal darkness, and then how will you see the titties? Get it now? AdamandEve.com, putting the Mona into that corona of the sun, not the other... code GLORY at adamandeve.com.
Now I'd like to recite another song that I wrote, which is called Girls Just Want to Eat Cheese. Oh, mommy dear, you know that I need to eat from the 4 basic food groups every day. That's right. Girls just want to eat cheese. Oh, girls, that's all they want to do. Girls just want to eat cheese. I want a new dog, one that likes to eat cheese. One that's very well groomed, doesn't have too many ticks. I want a new dog! And it kind of falls apart after that, but that's a good beginning.
All right, this is from NBC News. Right-wing operatives Jacob Wohl and Jack Berkman agree to pay up to $1.2 million for misleading 2020 robocalls. I've got to tell you guys what these calls were.
Fucking what the fuck? These were so fucking racist.
They were the most racist
like, you're
things
like,
ever.
What the sweet fuck? It's like knocking on somebody's door in blackface.
Yeah, I know,
Are
man.
Are you kidding me?
Like, a minstrel show seems progressive by comparison.
Insane,
it's insane. I got you guys. I'm just going to read this. Like, this is absolutely fucking bonkers. The speaker on the call identified herself as Tamika Taylor of Project 1599 and falsely claimed that voting by mail would result in voters having their personal information used by the police to track old warrants and allow credit card companies to collect debts and for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to track people for mandatory vaccinations. Quote, "Don't be finessed into giving your private information to the man. Stay home safe and beware of vote by mail," the call said. The undisputed evidence, so this is what the judge said. U.S. District Judge Victor Marrero found Wolf and Berkman liable for having violated state civil rights laws and the federal Ku Klux Klan Act with the calls. The quote, "undisputed evidence in this case establishes that defendant's conduct in designing and executing the robocall was racially motivated. The robocall sought to deter eligible black voters from exercising their right to vote, subjecting them to discrimination in their civil rights."
What is so fucking shitty about this whole thing is when you read the lawyers' statements in this, the lawyers who are defending Wall
and Berkman.
Berkman, the lawyers basically doing the, you know, when some affluent kid drives drunk and kills somebody or rapes somebody, there's always, well, they just want to get on with their lives right now.
Yeah, right.
That's basically what happened here is they just did a bunch of really racist shit and tried to disrupt the elections, but they just want to get on with their lives right now. They just want to move past this.
They're ready to move on to the next chapter.
They want to grow. They want to grow into fucking larger racist cysts on society. That's what they want to grow into.
And this isn't the first thing that they've been caught and convicted of doing.
No, this is like millions of dollars. Yeah. Millions of dollars they've had to pay.
This is like the third time that they have pulled racially motivated election interference bullshit. Like, the thing is that makes me crazy is this punishment, it says up to $1.2 million. It's not $1.2 million. They got to pay like $300 and change. And if they don't make those payments on time, then it goes up. But if they make their payments on time, then it's $300,000 and change.
Yeah.
This is nothing. They got like maybe some probation for something else that they had to do.
Like community service hours. Yeah,
they should be put in fucking prison. We're putting people in prison for dumb, silly, nonsensical shit, right? We're putting people in prison for like, oh, you sold a dime bag back in the day. You know, like there's still people languishing in fucking prison for like stealing a food sometimes or like, you know, these are nothing burger bullshit. These guys get like fucking house arrest and probation and do a little community service, pay some fines.
Pay some money.
Oh, and you don't even have to pay the whole fine if you make all your payments on time.
You do it quickly enough. We're cool. Yeah.
The fuck out of here with that.
It's ridiculous. And these guys, this is not only a racist, shitty attack where they're awful, shitty, racist people, but like you said, it's attacking election integrity and it's attacking people who are in the most vulnerable communities, convincing them not to use the power of their voice in the one time of the, like every 4 years that they can actually do it.
Man, you ever meet that guy who is like absolutely convinced and like constantly like harassing his girlfriend or his wife and convinced she's cheating on him because he's cheating on her? That's the Republicans with voting.
It really is. It really is.
That is the Republicans with voting, right? Like, they are obsessed with election integrity, election integrity, election integrity. And they're cheating on every turn, man. They're cheating every place. They're getting people of color stripped from the voter rolls. That's cheating.
Yeah.
They're gerrymandering in insane, crazy, bonkaroo ways. Then, like, South Carolina gets caught doing it. The Supreme Court's like, cut that shit out. It's like, they draw out the clock and now they're going to use their gerrymandered fucking districts. They're cheating on every turn,
and
man.
And not just that. There was several instances of them actually trying to cheat for Trump.
Yes.
Several instances.
Yeah, double voting. This robocall shit. This is the third thing, the third election interference that they're trying to do. Trump's literally calling the Secretary of State in Georgia to try to twist his fucking arm. They're constantly cheating and then they're banging the drum. You guys are cheating. You guys are cheating. You guys are cheating. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Get your dick out of somebody else before you call this other person a cheater. Are you kidding me?
I know, man.
Wait, what's going on?
I don't have time to explain because the eclipse is happening in a few minutes. We have to exercise his dead wife, Bonnie, or else we won't get the extra thousand that we need to save his daughter because otherwise she's going to be ravaged by hell demons.
This is insane. Trump posts bizarre solar eclipse ad with his stupid fucking head blocking out the sun, plunging the U.S. into darkness.
I want to just show the image.
Jesus Christ.
So here's what I want to say. Like, when I look at this, it looks like fucking something from The Simpsons. It looks like a bad profile. Like, I would be embarrassed.
Dude, it looks
if
like
my profile looked as shitty as this profile looked.
It looks like, maybe call this up, it looks like the guy from Despicable Me.
Yeah.
It seriously looks like a profile of the fucking villain from Despicable Me.
He also looks like he doesn't have a body, like he's a snake. Like, look at his head is leaning forward. It looks terrible.
It looks so bad.
It looks so bad. And then you, not only the symbolism is a terrible symbolism that you're covering the entire world, like entire United States in darkness. That's not great, right?
No, man.
That's not great. But just the actual image itself is so unflattering. Like, the profile is so unflattering.
Cecil, it looks like a spoof ad by like Lincoln Project. Like, I can't imagine creating this really does, guys, look like an ad created by the opposition. You've got to see this ad. It's insane. And to your point about the profile and how unflattering it is, it shows like all you see in it is his weak chin. Like, he's got a crazy weak chin, like a terrible, shitty, weak chin with a fat fucking neck.
Why would you use this as your thing? Right?
You would not use this for anything.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
It's so incredibly unflattering. I would cry. If somebody took a photo of me like this, I'd be like, you fucking delete that picture.
Yeah.
You delete that. I've never looked like that.
Right.
Never.
I would cry.
I would cry.
I would cry if that
I'd be like,
me.
Nobody can ever look at me
terrible,
in profile.
Awful. It looks so bad. I mean, it genuinely looks bad. But, and then the symbolism itself is ominous and not, it's not in any way positive.
No, it's really kind of violent and controlling. And like, it kind of feels like I'm not even fucking around. It feels like so big brothery, so crazy big brothery that when you see it, it feels like a bad, like art house picture from like a kid making his first movie. It's embarrassingly, if we fall for this,
yeah, man.
God damn, dude, if we fall for this guy, it's like, I don't know. We got to get other passports. We've got to get other passports. We'll go to Portugal.
Blown away that there's still this many people that support this guy. Blown away by it.
It looks evil.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like that word, but it looks like something from a bad movie about a dictator. And like, the dictator is being like, I'm bad. Here's my bad thing.
You know where I think you get the, I'm going to call it back up. You know, I think you get the piece where you're talking about it's from Despicable Me is the eyebrows are in charge here.
Dude, they're so
they're
crazy.
So big. I have
they're
big
so
eyebrows.
Crazy.
Right? I have big bushy eyebrows. What the sweet fuck?
Your eyebrows.
What the sweet fuck, dude.
Did you ever see Schitt's Creek? The show Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
It looks like Eugene Levy's eyebrows.
Crazy, man.
It's like, you could set things on there.
I mean, you put a Diet Coke on
these
are
eyebrows. Load-bearing eyebrows.
Yeah. Insanity, man.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
That is wrong.
But the government scientist, Dr. Yamak, have proved it is size of squirrel.
Your government scientist?
So Dr. Yamak.
He's wrong.
Give me a smile, baby. Why angry face?
Well, what you're saying is very demeaning. Do you know the word demeaning?
No.
What the fuck is even happening anymore?
Okay, so I gotta call this one up because we'll play this one.
This is from Salon. It screws up female brains. MAGA leaders are conditioning Republicans to back birth control bans.
All right, let me play this. This is
the most dystopian world we could possibly
live in. This is Charlie Kirk, so I'm just gonna play it.
A lot of them are on birth control too, and birth control like really screws up female brains, by the way. Every single one of you need to make sure that your loved ones are not on birth control. It increases depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. Birth control is the number one most prescribed medication for young ladies under the age of 25. They will give young ladies birth control for pimples, for acne, to control their moods, their period. It is awful. It's terrible. And it creates very angry and bitter young ladies and young women. That bitterness then manifests into a political party that is the bitter party. I mean, the Democrat Party is all about bring us your bitterness and, you know, we'll give you free stuff. It's like, we'll trade you, you know, bitterness for stuff, essentially. That's like the Democrat Party.
It's so funny. so funny. The right just really has a lot of good comedians.
You hear how he gets nothing but the softest chuckle.
Literally everybody in the audience is checking their phones.
Yeah, right.
Nobody cares what he has to say. A couple of things that he says don't even make any sense, right? To say that it's the one thing that most people get on, right? And most people, then why isn't there like an absolute swath of people who are having these issues that you're pointing out? Why isn't that because it doesn't happen because you're lying to people.
Yep.
And then he's saying, well, they get all bitter because they're on this pill. Maybe they're getting bitter because you're trying to steal their fucking rights. Yep. Maybe you ever think about that? Maybe you're trying to control what they intake and that might make them bitter. I don't know.
It's shocking. Shocking consideration. The things that he was mentioning, and the Salon article points it out, the things that he was mentioning, you know, the anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. It's like 0.5% of women that are on birth control report a side effect that correlates to this. He says like women take this for like, you know, virtually any reason.
He named four things too, by the way. So when they say it's one in 200, that's 1 in 200 of one of those four things.
Right, yeah. So like these are like, there are rare side effects that do affect some people's moods because that's how medicines work, right? Sure. Like all medicines have some side effects. Okay, like it's not like that's not the story yet. Who cares?
It might not be for everybody,
right? That is literally true of all medicine. Then he goes on to say something which I thought was really telling about his motives, right? He says they'll give women birth control for anything, for pimples, for mood. He just doesn't want women to be on birth control because he doesn't want women to have autonomy over their own personal freedom. That's really what's here, right? What's here is he's a guy leading this sort of right-wing, embittered male, incel-related movement. And they all want the same thing. They don't want women to have access to birth control because they don't want female autonomy. They are all, to a one of them, they are all upset that the offer that they make to women right now is unappealing because women are looking around and saying, hey, financially I'm independent, educationally I'm independent. I don't actually need a man in order to protect and provide. So I don't need to settle for the fucking low bar bullshit you're bringing to my door. And women are not settling for that. There's actually a big movement for women right now saying like, look, we're just going to stay single because the men that are out there are kind of for shit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of there with them, right?
If you take that choice away.
Right.
You take that choice away, then suddenly they have to choose.
Right.
And it also makes it so the men don't have to improve themselves.
That's exactly it.
These men can stay shitty, judgmental, useless dudes who just want to sit back and strip other people's rights away so they're forced to be around.
100%, man. 100%. This has always been about taking women down rather than elevating yourself. That's all this is about. And like, because why else would they? We knew when the Dobbs decision came out, we knew birth control was coming up. We knew it. They fucking said it. And like, here are these like, and I don't know how the fuck Charlie Kirk is a popular person. He's dumber than a bag of dog shit.
I know, man.
He's genuinely, he's an uneducated guy. He does not have any formal education. And when you hear him talk, he's obviously not a smart guy. Like he makes insane bullshit, spurious connections, but he's got a microphone bigger than mine, man.
Oh, for sure. And that reaches way more people than we do.
Unbelievable to me. That is unbelievable to me because he's got nothing to fucking offer and nothing to fucking say. So what has to be true is he has to be reaching into the angry, embittered, entitled white male. Because he's not talking to women here, right? Like he's not reaching out to women. He's not reaching out to people of color. He's reaching to the same people that Nick Fuentes guy is reaching out to.
Angry, you know? Well, you know, and angry people are motivated.
Yeah. Right?
They're angry and they're motivated. And these people are motivated to keep the status quo. Because if the status quo is going to allow them, and actually they don't want the status quo, they want to roll back even farther from where the status quo is. Yep. They don't want women, like you say, to have any kind of choice whatsoever. They want to make sure that women are stuck in a position where they're forced to choose unappealing dudes.
Yep.
And I guarantee you pan, you know, they're showing Charlie Kirk's head here, which is already unappealing. But if you pan the audience, you would see a slew of
white dudes.
Unappealing people.
Yep.
Unappealing people who aren't trying to turn themselves into better people. They're instead trying to take somebody else down so that they can climb one step ahead of them.
Yeah. They're trying to create a society of women that are desperate and in need so they can treat them like fucking chattel.
Yep. That's exactly it.
That's it.
The question is, why should a millionaire industrialist perpetrate such an obvious fraud?
Gizmodo, Texas debunks totally inaccurate claims of voting fraud being spread by Elon Musk.
Elon is now doing this thing where he's been doing this for a while, where he will find a tweet that is ridiculous on its face, but is hard right, and he will comment underneath it and say something like interesting or
makes you think
extremely concerning is what he said under here. And we're in this position now where he has a huge microphone. He has an enormous, he is the one who can control the algorithm of Twitter. So he can make it so his the people who work for him can push his stuff to be some of the first things you see when you come in. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you follow him or not. There's a chance you could see the things that he's saying and the things that he's retweeting. And in this case, this Twitter handle that is End Wokeness, I think that's what it's called, End Wokeness. And so they tweeted out these numbers for three states that said, these are the amount of people who have used their last four of their social security numbers. So it's not their full social security number. They said they used their last four of their social security number to sign up for voter registration. And those, and in Texas is over, they said over a million.
Yeah, like 1.2 million.
It was over a million people. And Texas, shithole that it is, came out and said, that's inaccurate. There's like 50,000 people who've signed up to vote. What you're seeing is a number based on how often this particular system is taxed to look for someone with a social security card. So it's you're assuming it's for voting, but it doesn't have to be. It can be for other reasons as well. And they require, the other thing too is none of these places that they suggest actually only use four digits of your social security number. If you have a social security number, you can have a social security number and be someone who is trying to gain citizenship, right? So let's say you're here on a work visa, you can get a social security number and you can use that social security number, but you can't vote, let's say.
Right.
They would know that. They're the government and they know where that number goes.
Yeah,
right?
They know that number aligns to a citizen or non-citizen.
Yeah, a person. They know that person. So they, so the idea that it can be used in this way is really just to foment all those people out there and to foment this discussion of it's a rigged voting system.
Yep.
It's a lie created. It's disinformation created by this Twitter account, but then amplified by the biggest Twitter account out there.
Yep. Yeah. Elon Musk, for whatever insane reason, has decided that his hill to die on is all the crazy right-wing hills. All of them.
Yeah.
This is what happens when a technocrat dabbles into politics. Like, this is a guy who is too young to be this powerful and this evil. We should really genuinely be, we talked about Elon Musk on a long form episode.
Yeah.
We should be really worried about this guy. This guy has an enormous amount of money. The Department of Defense relies on Elon Musk and Elon Musk's products to launch their satellites into orbit. Our national defense then relies to some degree, a non-zero degree, on the good graces of a single oligarch. That's not good news, man. This is terrible news when they're like credulously retweeting, which is effective. I know it's not a retweet, but like commenting and boosting.
Yeah, quote tweeting. Yeah.
Right. Within this platform to an audience of however many, all this like unfact-checked, credulous, lying dipshittery. It's bad news, man. Like, well, this is like a guy who owns the megaphone.
Well, and to your point about him being so powerful, talking about him being powerful when it comes to the Department of Defense, here's a man with one tweet who can mobilize the entire state of Texas to pick up the phone.
Yes, because that's what happened. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's the guy who can say something and an entire state's department that handles their voting registration jumps.
Yep.
All he has to do is say one thing.
Yeah.
Look, that's a lot of
power.
That's
a huge amount of power, man. And that thing is like, unlike a politician, he answers to nobody. He owns it outright. He answers to nobody. And it never goes away. He is going to be like, the part of the problem with billionaire money is it is impossible once you reach almost. It is nearly impossible once you become a billionaire to not maintain your billionaireosity, right? That's an amount of money that just by the orders of multiplication grows at a rate that is almost impossible for you to spend back. So once you reach that level of power, you just always will have it. And it will increase upon itself. It is an increasing level of power. That's fucking troubling, man. It's not like this guy will ever go away. He'll never be not unbelievably rich. Yeah. Even if Tesla tomorrow were to go away, he would be unbelievably wealthy literally forever.
I also want to talk about not going away in another sense. You and I are reading this article and we're seeing Texas's response, but how many people on Twitter see his tweet that still exists there, that is still saying the wrong thing, and then they never follow it down any rabbit hole?
Mostly everybody.
Yeah.
Most people aren't fact-checking shit. And we talked about this in our book. What was the name of our book, by the way, Cecil?
Grand Unified Theory of Bullshit.
Where would that be available?
You could get it on Amazon, or you could buy the audio version that Tom reads on our website.
That's interesting. We talk about this in our book. Part of the problem, too, is that a lot of times information comes into our mental ecosystem not by intention, but by chance. We see something, we don't give it a second thought, we just read it, we glance over it, we're not even critical about it, we're not fact-checking it. It's not even important to us. And then it becomes, you know, I heard once that.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes part of our mental background. That is troubling, right? That is a really troubling thing that happens. We're all susceptible to it.
You could even say it's extremely concerning.
It's extremely concerning.
But we are susceptible to it.
We're all susceptible to it.
Yeah. And the fact is that Elon Musk is going to amplify this, what wants to instill basically a fascist America, right? This group, this end wokeness guy. He will amplify their message, and then people won't find the rebuttal at all. They're not, because it's 10 tweets down on Twitter.
Yeah.
And actually the mentions now are a mess afterwards.
Oh my God.
Because it's all blue check marks, and some of them aren't anything about what the tweet was at all. So sometimes I'll see a tweet, I'll click on it, and then I'll look underneath it, and the first 5 or 6 responses are videos of something completely different, but they're blue check marks, so they get moved up. The algorithm's fucked now. I don't know how anybody navigates and stays on Twitter anymore, because to be honest, it's a fucking mess. But genuinely, the people that are there, one, they want to believe this stuff, and so they won't. Those people won't ever look, and the other people who come across it and don't have the sort of the ability to fact check it, they're going to believe it.
Qualifications.
Stampeding cattle.
That's not much of a crime.
Through the Vatican?
Kinky.
Story comes from NPR. The Vatican says surrogacy and gender theory are grave threats to human dignity. Cecil, I read this. You put it in the notes. And all I could think is, who the fuck is still listening to the Vatican, man?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is still listening to a fucking pedo ring run out of some like weird little ensconced city in Italy? Who the fuck? And I mean that like without rhetoric. Like, I'm not trying to be rhetorical.
There's a lot of people who are Catholics, man. There's a lot of Catholics in the world.
But fucking why at this point? Well, what is still going on in your head?
I will say this. You know, they put out a document, and they do this every once in a while. They call them encyclicals. And it's written by the Pope or somebody who writes it, and then he signs his name to it. But this one might not be technically an encyclical. It might just be a document that they put out in, I don't know.
Like a memo? Like a Vatican memo?
But it could be just by the higher ups in the church. But this one's called Infinite Dignity. And it talks about infinite dignity. And it lists all these different ways in which, you know, we've got to be careful about infinite dignity. But the person in this article they say, this is very much conditional love, right? Instead of saying infinite, where it's like there's dignity in everybody, there's dignity. You're very specifically calling out the fact there aren't dignity in people who change their gender. Like you're very specifically saying those people aren't. Those people, they're doing a us and them in this
for
document.
Sure.
And Pope Francis gets a pass so often as being a reformer, as somebody who is, you know, he's a progressive. You know, he is just as stodgy and fucking full of this bullshit as the rest of those fucking cardinals that they threw all their fucking hat in, and one of them went black or whatever, and the smoke shot up, and they spun the bottle and they picked this fucking knob. But every single one of them is very similar, man. They're all super conservative. religious, we talked about this recently, religion itself has to be conservative. And these people, they are conservative. They, once in a while, they'll say something like, oh, you know, that models something vaguely progressive, and they get heaps of praise for it. Oh, they, you know, Pope Francis happens to be a little environmental. Yeah, great. Okay, he happens to be a little environmental, but that dude is still not, he's still going to be against condoms in Africa or something.
Yeah, I know,
you
man. Know?
So this just, it's a lie. It's just a facade.
Well, it's like this relative progressivism, and the other benchmark for the measure is one of the most conservative organizations to have existed in all of time.
Sure.
It's not a good comparison. It doesn't really mean anything when the other side is so incredibly conservative. Yeah. I want to read some parts of this because I think it's astonishing. The Vatican released a new document calling poverty, war, and the plight of migrants threats to human dignity. But it also calls abortion surrogacy. And now I do want to say, so that it's said, so we don't get an email, I am very much aware that there are real systemic issues with surrogacy and the way that women's bodies are sometimes commodified by the wealthy in surrogacy situations. That's a real problem. Like wealthy people can commodify the bodies of poor women and basically like force them financially into positions of surrogacy. But that's not what the church is talking about. The church is talking about, and you get this from the rest of their document, like they've got like an ideological problem with the idea of where babies come from and how life should be made or how life shouldn't be made or what fucking ever.
Wasn't Mary a surrogate?
Yeah, right. Wouldn't be. That's a good point.
I mean, doesn't it? I mean,
right?
I mean, it's not like God fucked her.
Right.
Like, I mean, I just don't even. Yeah. Your whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Your whole thing doesn't make any sense. But then and it goes on further. It says infinite dignity details a long list of what it calls grave threats to dignity, some of which might be expected. It talks about the drama of poverty and how the unequal distribution of wealth denies humans their God-given dignity. Hell of a thing to say. Hell of a thing to say from the fucking Vatican about wealth.
Yeah, for
sure.
You know,
hell of a thing to say. It also describes war, the abuse of migrants, sexual abuse, violence against women, the marginalizing of people with disabilities, assisted suicide, which I fully support, and abortion as a front.
They don't, though. Right. They think suicide is the sin that you can't get into heaven for.
Right. That's such a cruelty. It is such a fucking cruelty. The document's framework, and I think this is really worth talking about, the document's framework holds that if a person is made in God's image, then gender theory and gender reassignment surgery call into question why God would create a person with the wrong gender. By that same logic, we shouldn't fix a club foot. By that same logic, why sew up a cleft palate? By that same logic, why repair a valve in a heart of a baby?
It's because trans people are the one that I think a lot of people want to attack because it's sort of the attack du jour today.
Right.
You know, it's the thing that people, they see somebody that's vulnerable in a population and then they go after them. And also like, there's probably not a ton of trans people. I can't imagine a ton of trans people who care what this person thinks.
No.
What you're doing is you're attacking an outgroup that's not even part of your group.
Well, no, but I mean, I think importantly, what they're doing with all these issues that they raise is they are mobilizing their base to judge other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like you said, like if I am a non-Catholic woman getting an abortion, do I give a shit what the Pope says? No. But might my Aunt Kathy?
Yeah.
And might my Aunt Kathy now treat me like shit because of it?
Might some asshole come with a fucking megaphone and scream at me when I go in?
You know, might some lawmaker take my right away from me? Of course. So it's like, it doesn't matter if I am directly the one in the path of this message.
Right.
The point is like this message goes out to all these fucking chuckle fucks who happen to be powerful. There's a disproportionate amount of Catholics in our government right now in positions of power. I say disproportionate because there's not as many Catholics by percentage, but there's a huge number of Catholics in our in positions of power in Congress, et cetera. It's still a very powerful group of people.
Sure.
It's a very, very powerful group of people. So these messages make a real big fucking difference. And the framework that they base it on is nonsense.
Yeah.
Like the framework, they're saying, well, yeah, I mean, like, God don't make no mistakes, so why would we change it? Like, I don't know, man. When you break your arm, just let it lay there then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, If you have a fucking baby with a fucking hole in its heart, just let it die. This is a stupid way to think. It's an old, backward, trash way to think.
Stop taking your fucking blood pressure medication or whatever, right. Old cardinal.
Yeah.
You know?
And like you said, like these are a group of people who are making decisions, who are a bunch of fucking celibate dudes living lives that are just completely cloistered away from reality.
Yeah.
They don't deal with reality. They don't. They don't deal with gendered reality. They don't deal with sexuality in any meaningful way. They don't deal with romantic relationships at all. These are people living, they don't even deal with the workforce in the proper way. These are people living completely cloistered lives, being like, well, you know what I think? Well, actually.
Yeah.
It's, the fuck out of here.
It's exactly what you say too. And in my previous job, I worked and had to once in a while, in my orbit would come into my orbit. These are Catholic priests would come into my orbit. And they would come to my orbit because there was, you know, things that I was putting on the internet, you know, historical things that I was putting on the internet that I had to work with them, right? Mm-hmm. So to do this sort of work. And they are essentially children. These are grown-ups that are like essentially children. They don't do anything for themselves. They come home every day from their, you know, study, whatever they're doing. Maybe they're teaching a class at a college, and then they come back to their place of where they live in
dormitory
community
or whatever,
with the rest of the dudes. And there's a whole crew of people that cooks their food. Every day they get cooked food. All their food gets done.
Jesus Christ.
Don't cook it for themselves. They hire people to cook for them. Then they have cleaners who come in and clean their stuff. They don't make their own appointments. They have people who literally do all this work for them, and they do one or two things a week. That's what they do. They essentially have servants to do all the things they need to do. Everything that needs to be done is done for them. They don't live a life like you or me. They don't live like us.
Right.
They don't have to worry about things. They have someone who handles things for them. So they're very much like aristocracy. They're a weird throwback to a time that, you know, a lot of people don't ever have an opportunity to even live like this.
It's a weird, strange way
they live. And you're absolutely right. They don't, they have no connection. And it's so similar when you think about, you know, the rich people who run our country. They have no connection. Listen to what Trump was saying. He's like talking about how you had to fucking use your ID to buy groceries. He doesn't know.
I know. He doesn't know.
Trump has never stopped, driven himself somewhere to stop to get gas for himself and
right.
then go in and get a bag of peanut M&Ms and then pay for it with real money. That's never happened in his entire life, right? The normal thing that 99.9% of the United States has to deal with, that man's never done, right? And there's a lot of people in high office that they just don't, that's not a thing they ever have to think about.
Yeah.
They don't have to do that stuff. And that's just one tiny moment of your life. You know, think about all the times you have to make doctor's appointments for yourself.
Right.
These people, they live pampered lives, and then they make the rules for the rest of us.
Yeah, and they don't know how the world works. No. And they don't know how people interact. Why are we listening to them about like, hey, here's some stuff about gender. It's like, motherfucker, you live in a dormitory with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
You have no relate. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You are
not in the world.
The only reason you care is so you can weaponize your group against those people.
Yeah.
Peter first was in fear when Jesus told him to launch out. It's amazing when the Lord speaks to you.
Call me right now. 620-6200. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get the vows and all the prayer requests here. What time do we have? Two will see the glory of God. Hallelujah.
I feel like we got to close the show today, Tom, with just playing this video.
I listened to this video, Cecil. This is from the Huffington Post. Arizona State Senator leads prayer in tongues on the floor before abortion ruling.
Let's just, I just got to play
just
it.
Play
so
it.
This is it.
Let it be so, Father God. Let it be so. Lord, right now we just release the presence of the Lord in the Senate chamber. We just release the hovering glory of God Almighty in the Senate chamber. We just pray right now, Lord God, over every guest.
Honestly, like, no bullshit. This is upsetting to watch.
It is so crazy.
It's crazy.
It sounds like that fucking ecky, ecky, ecky.
saying. Like, it's fucking crazy, man. You are so fucking just unhinged.
This is
to walk in and put your hands on the ground and fucking spew nonsense into the air.
If you guys get a chance to go to our site, if you're watching this, or if you're not watching this, if you're just listening, this is a group of powerful people, right? This is a state senator in Arizona. They're about to rule on like the abortion ruling for like on that 160-year-old mm-hmm. law that we just talked about in the beginning of the show. They're on the fucking ground. They're on the ground, bowing and moving in rhythm and fucking making uka-aka sounds. This is not a red, like this should be disqualifying. Should be like, oh, I'm sorry, you're fucking nuts.
Here's what I don't get. Every once in a while, a humanist will say, I'd like to give the opening. And then they fucking shit our fucking pants when a humanist or a Satanist. And if you've ever heard the Satanist stuff, it's literally just humanism that they're repackaging that they want to say as the opening prayer. They will fucking shit their pants at how fucking terrified they are of that getting on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it's serious. You could make more sense if you walked into a daycare with pre-verbal kids. And you would be able to learn more about the world than what is happening right now.
These should not be people that are allowed to make decisions. And I don't mean decisions about like governance. I mean decisions of any kind. This is like, this is the beginning of 2001, A Space Odyssey. This is the chimps banging sticks against an obelisk.
Yeah.
It's you watch it, you feel like it's a joke.
Yeah.
This seems like the opening sequence to like the next episode of Handmaid's Tale.
It's terrifying.
Like this is filmed live from Gilead.
It's terrifying because these are people who you don't want to trust them because they have put their trust in an imaginary thing. So they've put their trust in this imaginary thing to guide them, but that thing's not real.
And they're play acting a weird thing.
And they're
thing.
Doing play acting and they're doing all this. But the real problem is that they're not taking responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah.
They're putting it on some imaginary thing and making decisions. I want somebody who's going to fully own their actions and fully be involved in those actions. I don't want somebody who's just going to make something up and then fucking sing a weird song to them.
Yeah, man. The thing is,
sitting on the floor of the fucking Senate, like that is, that's unsettling.
It's super unsettling because they're going to do exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Right. They're doing like, the thing is, there is no God, right? There's no actual God. So in every circumstance with literally no exceptions, these are just people doing the thing that they wanted to do. And all the rest of this nonsense is window dressing to what they always wanted to do. They didn't pray and get an enlightenment.
Yeah.
They didn't pray and have a conversation. That never happened.
Right.
It cannot happen. It's literally impossible. What they did was exactly the thing they wanted to do. And then they used this story in their head as their justification for the thing that they just wanted to do.
And it's the one thing that can get them past everybody.
Yeah.
And keeps them blameless in some ways. Terrifying. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We'll be nothing on Thursday. This upcoming Thursday, there's nothing. We would normally do a live stream, but we're afraid to go on YouTube right now because of the strikes that they've given us. So we're waiting until those strikes, they eventually expire. So we're waiting for that strike to expire. Once it does, then we'll probably try to come back on YouTube, but not this month, not April. Maybe May, fingers crossed. We'll see how long it takes for them to reinstate us. But we're going to stay off of live streams until then, but we will be back the following Monday. And then on Thursday, that following Thursday, our patrons will go to show. So you can always go to patreon.com/dissonancepod or dissonancepod.com. And you can sign up as a patron on a per episode basis. And you get an extra show every month. We do an extra show just for patrons. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave it like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death in towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.